So this coming Saturday, Red Wolves are making some announcements. They've got an awesome deal. You can pre-buy 3 tacos. It is a taco game. You get 3 tacos, a margarita, and a shot of tequila on the side. Now, some of you who maybe have some younger family members, don't worry. They do have a non-alcoholic package, which is 3 tacos with a drink and a churro. And I reached out to the front office and I was like, hey, is there any way that I could like trade my shot of tequila in for a churro? And they told me that I should just take one from my son. And if you want a viral video, then you should watch me trying to take a churro off of my 11-year-old. Because that's going to be
soccer chat with 2 T's. Because we're going to chat about soccer, but we're also in Chattanooga. So it's like a play on words. And, you know, Chattanooga is a soccer city.
If I didn't have to be the one editing this, I would explain that specific button push is a problem that I have in my life. And, you know, you shouldn't judge people for premature button pushing.
It's the power. It's the control. It's the only thing he's got going for him.
That's why they won't give me sparkle control like they give to the churro boy. So this is going to be an abbreviated episode. We are releasing this on Wednesday morning. So we have a game coming up tonight, but before we get into tonight's game, I would like to take a quick look back at this most recent trip to the ballpark there in Nebraska. I wouldn't say Omaha because it's not, but what were your guys' thoughts on the game?
It's the Omaha Metro.
It's the Metro. Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, it's Metro as Omaha gets. It's pretty wide out, but yeah, it's Omaha is certainly the biggest city next to it. So, and people drive there from Omaha. So that's fine. I'm not worried about that. I think generally speaking, I felt pretty good about the game because I felt like we were in the driver's seat through most of it. I felt like the team was more confident with having a stronger back line. And so obviously it started very strong. We had some threats, but before we go to what happened later, I just want to throw out my initial reaction was positive. We're on the road. We're at Omaha, who sometimes is frustrated in the past. So it looked like we were going to take all 3 points. And even though we did get all 3 points, we were the better side through most of the game.
I think if you told me pregame we were going to go come out of it with a draw on the road, I would have said, that's great. I'll take that. We're, you know, trying to kind of come back from difficult play. We don't have all, I don't know that we had all of our attacking players there. Our coach under suspension. So we're having to kind of put things together. I thought they had a really good game plan. I thought defensively they did a great job. I think our offense is starting to cool off some, and you could kind of see, I think, the way that the field was set up. I thought we were going to struggle, and it looked to me like we did in trying to create chances. We couldn't create any width. I thought we did well handling the pressure, keeping possession, defending well, preventing them from being able to really hit us on a counterattack. But yeah, as you know, taking that lead into 90 plus minutes, down to 10 men. We had 30 minutes with 10 men and we needed to defend for 33. And so it was really disappointing.
So here's my thought on that. First off, if you would have told me after 15 minutes of this game that we're going to walk away with a 1-1 draw, I would have taken it too, because the first 15 minutes we were on the back foot. I thought for sure there were multiple opportunities for Omaha. And I actually feel like they came out, played like the better team. Played like the team. If you were to ask me without knowing which team was which one was the one that is actually scoring goals and which is the one that is depending on their keeper and defense for everything, I would have flipped it. I would not have said that the Red Wolves are the team that has 27 goals coming into this game and that Union Omaha was a team with 16 coming into this game. There's no way you would have been able to convince me of that, because that is not what that looked like. Now, granted, 7 of our goals came from one game, so there is something to that, right? But 15 minutes in, I was not feeling it. I was very worried. Obviously, let's go P. Like, super excited about P. Hernandez getting that goal, nutmegging the best player on the field for Union Omaha. I think that's a fair statement to say, and that's not a shot at all the other players for Union Omaha as much as it is a compliment for Nuhu. He is a very good keeper, and to nutmeg him for a goal like that on a lucky deflection to get that ball to where it was, and let's be honest there, felt really good about that.
I would agree that it took a lucky deflection off of kind of a heavy touch by Jimmy Villalobos, lucky deflection off the Omaha player. I'm going to give Pedro Hernandez credit for his hustle in getting to that ball, because there's plenty of times we've seen that sort of deflection and no Red Wolf player is able to get it and get onto it and do anything with it. So lots of credit to Pedro with his hustle. There was maybe one point where he should have maybe not hustled for one step too many. And we might have been able to see him complete the game and possibly make team of the week.
So that happened to him twice.
Pedro, take it away.
Right. So that happened to him twice on his hustle hurting him, which resulted in the red card. Because first off, let's talk a little bit about the first yellow. And my wife pointed this out. I was a keeper. I take major issue with keepers that stomp on players when they run into them. And that is what Nuhu did to him. He stomped his feet at him because he got slid into. Not cleats first, right? Because Pedro pulled his feet back, realizing what was happening, right? So there's no cleat hitting him that resulted in him stomping at our player. And I personally think there should have been a double yellow there, because that was completely unacceptable, in my opinion, for him to stomp like he did at our player. But completely deserved the yellow card. You can't go into a keeper out of control like that. Even if you pull your cleats back, you're still going out of control into the keeper in a scenario that, honestly, it wasn't close enough for there to be that situation, in my opinion. What do you guys think?
I wasn't bothered by the yellow at the time. I thought to myself, yeah, that's the kind of play that tends to get yourself into a yellow. And then you just got to play smart through the rest of the match and keep yourself out of trouble for the rest of it.
Sorry, the AC kicked on here, and probably got really loud. Sorry about that. I agree it was a yellow, but I thought Nuhu's reaction was not called for. I was not expecting a double yellow, because that doesn't happen in League One. But I agree with your point. But going back to how we started, yes, Union Omaha came out with a lot more creativity, but we answered everything they threw at us in the first 15 minutes. That's why I never felt very threatened that they were going to get it. In that first 15 minutes, yeah, we were on the back foot, but our defense was able to stop them time and again. So I felt like, and then after a while, it looked like Union Omaha just kind of ran out of ideas.
Yeah, I think that's... I think they became predictable. I think they run into the same problem that everyone does on that pitch, is that there is no width, which makes it a lot easier to defend against you. And that brings me into my thought on the second yellow that turns into the red. I think we can all agree it was a questionable yellow card, because it was definitely a 50-50 ball that one player reacted in a manner that said, he hit me. I don't think he's planning on pulling a yellow card until half the team starts telling him he needs to pull a yellow card. I didn't see him reaching for his pocket until after players were yelling at him. What do you guys think?
I think it looked worse than it was, and that's probably one of the reasons why it turned into a yellow. It's, you know, from vantage point, looking at it, not knowing what's going on, it looked possibly out of control. And so that's why I think it looked worse than it was, and that may have a contributing factor why that was called to a yellow.
So I just want to make sure we're clear on what you're telling me, is that the League One professional referee was completely influenced by angry players of a team who had their player run into and got talked into giving discipline that affected the outcome of the game? I can't believe that a League One professional referee would get swayed like that.
Well, you know, the weirdest part of that whole interaction was what was going on with Jay Mims afterwards.
Yes.
So I don't normally rip on other teams' coaches because you're not there, you're not hearing what's happening. But you just managed to get a questionable yellow card called, and you're still so incensed that you managed to get a yellow card on yourself for being a douchebag.
That's a second yellow card that gives your team a man advantage. What on earth are you upset about?
If it was reversed, right? Like if it was them getting that happening to them, I would maybe give you the benefit of the doubt. But if you if you go back and rewatch that. That fourth referee warns him like five times before finally going to the ref and be like, come over here and give this idiot a yellow card. Like he kept warning him like, dude, you need to stop. You need to stop. Finally, he's like, hey, this idiot doesn't know that just went to his team's advantage for the next 30 minutes. So can you give him a yellow card to shut him up? Cause I'm tired of listening to him.
Anyway, it was really weird.
And it's Oblade is not on the sideline. So I'm not expecting that something was said that he's thinking our sideline needed to get a card for, because that's not really Weekly style, right? So,
well, and Navarro did get a yellow card for arguing with the referee after he gave the second yellow.
Yeah.
But even still, he gave the yellow card for it. So what else are you arguing about?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense unless he was trying to get it even more. Maybe he thought it was a red card level arguing, which is stupid. From that point on, though, I turned to April when we were watching this and said, I'm not that worried about the red card because we're playing in a little league stadium. It's a lot easier to defend with 10 men when you're only having to defend two-thirds of a normal size field. How did you guys feel that went?
So that was an actual joke that I made on our little fan Slack, was that this might actually help our spacing.
I missed that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's... Well, it's, again, we were, I never felt threatened by them, even though they had some bursts, but still, I felt like we had an answer for everything. So I wasn't as concerned when we went to the 10. I was actually thinking, and I think most of us were going as we got closer to the 90 minutes, that we're going to get away with it. But I was a little frustrated with our lack of offense at that time, because what lost the game was the lack of another goal. That's what we needed to do to put that game away, and we ran out of options. We didn't have the depth on offense like we normally have, because that's where, if you look at our injured list, it's a lot of our offensive players, some of our best ones, aren't available. But I did notice that as we were getting closer, I could tell the bus was being parked because more offensive players were coming off and more defensive players were coming in, and we were going to stack a line of seven against the goal or something. And we pulled a Burnley and decided to play non-football for a while, and it almost worked until someone decided to do an unstoppable goal.
So I would argue that did work, and that sometimes – great shots happen.
Yeah.
And that was a great shot from that distance.
Yes. Yes.
I would say from when he left until we finished, that was the right play. I was actually yelling at the screen and annoying my whole family that Galindres was still on the field. I was like, this is not a man with a defensive bone in his body or the ability to run. Why in the world is he still in this game and has not been replaced? It made no sense to me. Why it took so long to get him subbed out for two reasons. One, he's not super fast. Let's just let that be known. He's not super fast. So if you're parking the bus in a little league stadium, you're going to want the player you've left up top. Cause I'm assuming at that point you've gone to one up top and the other nine are playing defense. Five at the back, four in the middle, practically in the back, one up top. So you need a speedster up there. That's not Galindres. And you saw it happen at one point when Galindres was still in there, that the ball got sent up there and he had the chance to get there, but couldn't because he's too slow. I didn't understand that. That didn't make sense to me why it took so long. But all that to say, without a miracle shot, a really great not a lucky shot, a great shot. They earned the tie with that shot. We didn't lose the game or lose the win with our defensive mentality when you're trying to protect the lead. They tied it. There's a difference. And that's why I didn't go away disappointed or frustrated. If this was a situation where we had gone forward, I'm thinking back to like the Mo Espinoza tie, right? Where Mo didn't take it to the corner and we should have won that game. That one was frustrating. This one was disappointing, but I walked away going, Hernandez had a great goal. The defense held up. I really like Navarro and Mel again. It really makes me feel better about my defense. I left this game frustrated that we didn't get the win, but not frustrated because I felt like we gave it away, but because we did everything right and got the tie. And I'm coming away from that feeling a lot more confident going forward that this is a defense that's starting to really come around. What do you guys think?
Well, this was, I understand. I think this was like the first professional goal that Willis has made. And what a debut. I mean, that goal, it was the other team. It physically hurt me, but at the same time, I just had to stand in awe of it. So I've got to give a lot of props for that. No, I agree with what you're saying, and I think we're agreeing with the same thing. I'm using maybe some different words for it. But if we had the players, which we didn't have, if we had the offensive players and pushed for that second goal ahead of time, that's, we could have locked it up, and we almost did. And that's the part I think that hurts, was we were so close to coming out of there with the 3 points out of Omaha, which we always enjoy getting 3 points out of Omaha, and it was just so close. But I don't think there's a thing we could have done to have stopped that goal.
The last thing I'll say is in the first half, we had our lead. Carlos Avalez was taking his time. They had a camera on the Parliament up in their little burn behind the outfield wall, counting to six as if he was going too slow, which, you know, was like Spider-Man pointing at himself meme, because Union Omaha's entire game plan is have the goalkeeper get the ball, sit on it for 30 seconds, and then punt it the length of the field and hope that one of our players can run it down and on the second ball get themselves into a good position. They're literally in the fourth minute. The fourth minute, Nuhu had the ball at like 4:16. He did not punt it until 4:36. That's what it was. It was 4:18 when he stood up, and he did not punt the ball. They showed a replay, a full replay, and came back to action, and it was 4:36, and he was punting the ball. So it was kind of funny watching all the Omaha fans and Omaha players get frustrated about slow play when they were down a goal, because that literally is all that they do and how they won a championship. And the fact that they did just irritates the fool out of me, because it's not soccer.
Yeah. So they also had a very large crowd for that game. And I know that's a weird statement, because if you watched it, you didn't see it, right? But they had over 5,000 people, 5,100 something announced crowd. That stadium seats a little over 6,500 seated, and another like 3,000 on their various outfield berms, which reiterates something that is really imperative to talk about before we move on. Soccer sucks in baseball stadiums, because even with 5,000 fans, it looks empty. And can we please get away from it?
I'm waiting for the drone verified counts of how many people were at the game. Thank you.
All right, so that's my last word on it. We said we're going to be short, and we're already 20 minutes in, so we're doing terrible. Heading to the game on Wednesday, we play Central Valley Fuego. Central Valley Fuego is currently sitting one place ahead of us with a game in hand, 1 point more than us. Their recent run has been up and down, I think is a fair way to put it. They just got absolutely manhandled by Charlotte Independence on Friday, losing 4-0. The game before that, they beat Richmond Kickers, who are one of the top teams in the league, 3-1. Granted, Richmond did get a red card in that game, but I think it's safe to say that 3-1 over Richmond's a pretty strong showing. And so what are you guys expecting as we go into this game versus Central Valley Fuego on Wednesday?
I've been impressed with Fuego, with their sense of attack. They're not going to play like Union Omaha at all. They're not going to sit back. They're not going to waste time. They're going to keep pushing and keep prodding until something works. I am glad we have our defense worked out, and that's what's going to keep us in the match. My concern is, do we have enough firepower to keep up? So that's where it's – this would be a great time for one of our offensive players to come back from the injury list.
We both games have been tight. We won the last game out there 2-0, but the game was really a whole lot closer. We basically went end-to-end and scored a goal in the dying minute. So it was really kind of a 1-0 game that then had a fluky goal at the very end to make it 2-0. A 2-2 draw here in Chattanooga. We've talked about them. They're, you know, mirror image, that, you know, similar style. It's a high press, high energy. They want to get the ball moving. They want to make you chase them. And so I think there's goals there. I think one of the other things I think is good for us, that game when we went out, they were in a rough spot again. It had been like a 3-game losing streak. They went out to Fuego and played well. And they had a large family showing. We've got a lot of California-based players, people like Josue España, Jimmy Villalobos, and lots of other guys. And their families made the trip up to Fresno to watch them play. It's one of the few times that they're close to home for them. And you could see that it gave the players a lift. And I think with the circumstances that we've had the last couple weeks, that it's going to be the same sort of thing. They're going to get to go out there. They're going to get to see their family. And that's going to give them a lift. And so I feel really confident going in. I think it still could be a close game that could go either way. But I think you're going to see a much better, more energetic approach from the team because of the chance that they're getting to play in front of their family and see folks that they haven't seen in a few months.
So you talk about that that last game versus Fuego where we did win 2-0 and we didn't score until the 81st minute, that first goal. So it was very tight. The other thing that I will kind of mention in that is that if you look kind of at some of the stats that are related to that game, they're kind of, I almost would argue, upside down stats, because we don't like to like sit back and let a team control the game. And we did in that game, right? They had 62% of the possession. They had 399 passes to our 250, right? Like, that's a pretty substantial difference. We still had a lot more shots, 16 shots, 6 on target versus 9-2. But it very much felt like a game where we were countering versus controlling. And I know that's not Jimmy Oblata's preferred style. We don't really know how much of this is Oblata ball still for Weekly, or is Weekly trying to put his own spin on the team yet. We don't really know that. And I don't think he's really had an opportunity to make that decision, as we're still pending a decision from League One on what Oblata's status is. But what are you expecting? Are you expecting it to be like that again, or are you expecting it tomorrow if us try to control the game? Jeff, that's for you.
I think with the defense we have right now, I think we are going to try to keep control. I don't think we're going to have a massive change in strategy past the past two matches. I'm not saying we're playing for draws, but I do think that we're a little more risk averse right now. And maybe that is Coach Weekly trying to make sure the ship doesn't tip over. So I don't see us doing anything drastic. I do think that we will want to have the ball. And I don't think we're going to sit back, but I also don't think that Fuego is going to sit back, but I still think we're going to dominate in possession. And I think that Fuego is going to try to counter, but they're not necessarily going to sit back.
I think if you go back to the last few weeks, sorry.
I'm very emotional.
Yeah, got a little verklempt. I think it's ridiculous that it's been 10 days and the league still hasn't had any kind of update or anything about what's going on with the investigation. It's unfair to Jimmy, it's unfair to the team, and it's unfair to the players if there's something going on, if you've investigated it. Put it out there. Don't try to, like, shadow suspend him and then pretend like nothing happened. Anyway, I think the Red Wolves, even going back to the last game that Jimmy coached, have started being a little more pragmatic, especially when they get the lead. And so I think it is possible that you could see us, if we get an early goal, withdraw a little more, allow them to kind of come and try to work on a counter. We have fast players like Ray Ortiz, Rafa Metzigan, unfortunately not Juan Galindres, but we have other speedy players that we can use to counter with. We trust this defense, Timmy Mell and Daniel Navarro, possibly Cardona, Benton, Aaron Lombardi. So I think we're getting a little more trust in that defense, and we're going to be able to sit back and defend and allow them to wear themselves out trying to come at us. So I think that probably you might see a little bit more of a cagey approach.
I would like to see Alex start in the middle. And, of course, this would, you know, if we have someone else who could play wing, I think that Rafa, obviously, always there. Ray did a good job. But if we've got some other options in there, I think that I liked the bulk and the size, kind of a little bullyish, that Alex played. So it'd be interesting to see him start in front and having Tanky come off the bench. But again, we may not have the offensive players to do it.
Do we know if they came back to Chattanooga after the Omaha game, or do they go straight to California?
I was curious and I asked about that, and they did come home. So they probably practiced today. Probably tomorrow they're going to be traveling out west. But I think expense-wise, it's probably less expensive to fly back than try to have a week's worth of hotels in Omaha and California.
Yeah, that makes sense. The reason I was asking that is, you know, because of the fact that we will be obviously without Pedro Hernandez for this game.
Yeah.
Right. Pedro will be suspended because of the red card, but there are any of these guys that were not part of the 18 in Omaha could be, you know, get picked up and could be making the trip.
Yeah, because one of the things you may have noticed if you looked at our team lineup from the last game is we actually brought one less player than we normally have. And my understanding is that is expense related, like trying to balance, like, okay, we're not really using these guys. It's, you know, it costs money to put them in a hotel. It costs money to fly them out there. And they did fly to Omaha. So, I was just curious how they did that. So that's good news, because that means that if we do go with the shorter bench, we're not losing out on even one more, right? So we should be able to at least have, you know, the five subs to choose from, hopefully, assuming we have enough fitness, if not six subs. And then I'm, you know, I'm obviously ignoring Tor in that statement, because I don't think we really want to see Tor on the field. That's a sign that we've had a major issue, food poisoning or something. So anyways, all right, so let's just jump right into predictions for this game. We'll start with you, Churros for All. What is your prediction?
I'm gonna say another 2-0 victory.
Okay. Jeff?
I'm kind of stuck between a 1-1 or a 1-2. Red Wolves win. I don't think they're going to get more than one past us. I think we're going to get at least one, but if we get that second goal in there, we're going to get the 3 points. So I'm kind of teetering, and I'm leaning a little more towards the 1-2. Meaning I'm being hopeful. Hopeful. And then, so, especially if we get Mo, then I think we're going to get a 1-2.
So Central Valley has scored the third least amount of goals, which I thought was surprising, because they are very much offensively minded. But if you go back and look, excluding the Kickers game where the Kickers got a red card, you've got a 0 goal, 1 goal, 0 goal, 0 goal in 4 of the last 5 games. And that's excluding that Richmond Kickers game. Based on that, and our improved defense, I am going to predict a 2-0 victory as well. I do expect it to be similar to the last game, where it will be later that we get that, just because that seems to be, we've been just really struggling to have any real, like every game, it seems like the first 15 minutes, we're just not the right team out there. And I hope that goes away soon, but I just don't feel like, I feel like it's taken us 15, 20 minutes to even get going. And so if we can get going, not give up a goal in that first 15, 20 minutes, I think we've got a shot at a 2-0 victory, but it won't be one where we're 2-0 and it's the 70th minute and we're feeling comfortable. It's going to be one of those, okay, it's 0-0 or 1-0 in the 80th and we're like, give us another goal or something like that. So that's where I'm at.
Game is at 10:30 Eastern time. I am so glad that my extra TV just got delivered recently and I will be able to watch this
from the comfort of your room,
from the comfort of my bed. 10:30 Eastern time on ESPN Plus, and everyone enjoy the game. We'll be back, I think, later this week. Try to maybe talk about what happened. We might be recording prior to the kickoff of today's game, and get a preview of what's going on with Greenville, and talk a little bit of EPL, which is kicking off this weekend.
All right, and on that note,
bye.
Bye.
Bye. And bye again, we say to you, it's time to push that button, because you don't know what I'll sing or say.
Oh, jeez.
That's bad. Because I know you're, this stuff you're not going to play.
Oh,
yeah, you have some scruples.